Guns N' Roses, welcome to the jungle, also known as the Phil Nason Show. It is Wednesday, February the 13th, 2013, and I'd like to welcome you once again to the daily syndicated radio program known as the Phil Nason Show. And tomorrow's Valentine's Day, and Jamie and Smith will be here to talk Valentine stuff and all kinds of crazy things. And I got to tell you, don't forget, I've been warning you, I've been reminding you, don't forget, get your honey something on Valentine's Day, because if you don't get her something or him something, they are never going to forget it. Trust me on this. And speaking of things we have a hard time forgetting, is our Wednesday basketball day with sports-kings.com's Andy Flint. And he's on the line, and we've got lots to talk about today. Andy, what's up, man? How are you?
I'm great, man. Psyched to be here, Phil, as always.
Yeah, we're happy to have you. The connection is finally good again. Yeah, it's terrible. We have terrible wind here today, and your weather was so-so, right?
Yeah, we didn't really get all of it, everything that it was cracked up to be. They were calling for a lot more snow than we actually got. The wind was kind of hellish for a couple days, but it's died down a little bit.
Yeah, it sounds like it. And that's a good thing, by the way, because the East Coast got smoked, man. Sheesh. 3 feet in some places, right?
Yeah, I have in-laws in the Boston area, and they just got blanketed.
Yeah, I have in-laws there too, or not in-laws, but family there, and in Philadelphia also. I don't know how much they got. What did they get in Philly? Probably quite a bit too, right?
Yeah, I think they got quite a bit too. I didn't read what Philly had. I remember reading the Boston area and Connecticut got hammered, and New York City, obviously. New York City's got to be the worst. I remember reading how much square footage of road they had to plow in New York City, and it was something like the distance to California and back from New York. So like 6,000 miles. It was ridiculous.
Yeah, that's a lot of snow. How much snow do they get in the city?
I think they get a couple feet. It's like 26 inches.
Nice.
Nice. Yeah, beautiful.
I remember I was there on New Year's Eve. The last time I was there, 2001, New Year's Eve. I was renting a house in Long Beach with my friend for the winter because we both were banged up with our knees. And the day I got there from Vegas, it started snowing. And he left to go watch his brother play football down in Miami. So I stayed there. He left me in the car, thank God. I loaded up with some groceries. I hadn't been in a snowstorm in years. And we got like 2 feet in Long Beach. It was unbelievable.
Jeez.
I couldn't believe it, man. I was ready to go back home the next day. And I had to take the dog out with my crutches. It was awful, man. But anyway, enough of that. We are into the basketball, and we have some news. Something happened on Twitter recently involving Kobe Bryant. You want to kind of get into that?
Yeah, I mean, it's actually Kobe was kind of a stand-up guy here. You had a fan tweet Kobe. As everybody knows, Kobe's now on Twitter. If you didn't know that, go follow Kobe if you like basketball, obviously. He was kind of a guy who held out for a while. He's been on Twitter now for a couple months. But somebody said something along the lines of at Kobe, let's make out in bed. And so another fan who follows Kobe tweeted, you're gay. And you know, the your gay stuff is an insult. It's not cool. It's really coming to a head. When I was a kid, people didn't care so much, you know, 20 years ago. Nowadays, it's a no-no, guys, especially on Twitter. People need to use their heads a little bit. Twitter, Facebook, any social media, you can't say it because it doesn't go away. By the time you've erased it, it's already been screenshotted, as I'm looking at right here, with this guy who now looks like a moron. And maybe he's a halfway nice guy. He just said something stupid. And it's on Twitter, and now it's on the internet. It's embedded everywhere, and everybody can see it, and everybody's going to judge you for it. Kobe fired back at the fan who called the other fan gay by saying, and I quote, just letting you know that using your gay as a way to put somebody down ain't okay. And then he hashtagged not cool. Delete that from your vocab. So, I mean, Kobe, along with a lot of other NBA stars, I remember there was the commercial last season, Grant Hill was featured in it. You know, where people were talking smack on the court in different situations, and then somebody used the smack talk of calling somebody gay or a homo or something like that, and Grant Hill, you know, said that's not cool. And Kobe's saying the same thing. It's something people are very aware of in the spotlight, especially athletes right now, it seems like, because it's going to only be a matter of time before one of these athletes on a team, and it might be one of your favorite players, comes out while they're still playing basketball.
Yeah, that's possible. That's for sure. And you have to be careful. You know, when I was a kid, when you said gay, it didn't mean what it means now. It actually meant happy or a little silly, maybe. We didn't use it as a derogatory term. We had a different one for that. But goodness gracious.
Well, I mean, I know people use the term, and we did it when I was young, when I was a teenager, and it was always, you know, we didn't say, hey, you're gay, and that meant, hey, you're a homosexual. That meant, hey, you're gay, you know, you're an idiot, or you're stupid, or you're dumb, or this is gay, as in, this is lame, or this is, you know, stuff like that. So I don't think people are I think in this case on Twitter, this person was definitely using it in a derogatory way against homosexual people. But I think a lot of times when it's thrown out, people are just using it as, you know, your run-of-the-mill insult, not necessarily judging somebody's lifestyle or the way they're living. I mean, if you call your friend, you know, what are you doing over there? Oh, that's gay. You know, I don't think you really mean your friend's probably prefers the same sex. But at the same time, Kobe's right, and people need to delete this from their vocab because it's just not nice.
Plus, it can incite a lot of things that shouldn't happen. You know, it's not – there's more than one way to reject a lifestyle. Calling somebody names is not the way to do that. And I think Kobe handled that well. You know, that whole bullying thing when it started last year, I thought the NBA did a great job with that too. You know, I don't understand that type of behavior. And you know which behavior I'm talking about. I don't get that. But – in the same token, I have to respect that. And there were a long time I just went, ugh. But now it's more prevalent. And the thing is that these young people are basically coming out of the closet at very young ages. It's teenagers, some of them.
Yeah.
And they get bullied, man. Like that kid that jumped off that bridge and jumped off the Brooklyn Bridge, right? Was it a Brooklyn Bridge or the Manhattan Bridge? What was it?
Yeah, and it's just, I mean, it's sad, Phil. It is. I mean, you know, not to open the whole can of worms here. I mean, I'm sure we've all known gay people in our lives. And, you know, I've known gay people, legitimately good people. And it's just ignorant to berate people so far to the point where they would want to take their own lives or they want to shut themselves in. And just the bullying in general, and it's not even the bullying against gays, it's the bullying against everybody. I mean, you know, when I was a kid, it was a little different because there wasn't really the internet stuff going on. The internet was kind of just a startup. Everybody didn't have home computers in their homes when I was a kid. It's just like a cell phone. There's no cell phones. And, you know, when you got bullied when I was a kid, you got punched in the face. And that was pretty much it. A bigger kid punched you in the face, which sucked. It wasn't fun by any means. But this stuff didn't drag out on Twitter. You didn't have, you know, other kids on Twitter and Facebook jumping on you for days at a time. And you know, these young kids that are socially awkward, it's just – it's something that eats away at them. And it's a constant, you know. And when you're a kid, you go to school, maybe you get bullied a little bit. Now with these kids, they go to school, they get bullied, they come home, and they continue to be bullied at their own home over the internet, and it's just really not fair.
Yeah, I know. That's a horrible thing, too, because it doesn't go away. Anyone can set up a blog. That's why I get after these guys, especially these anonymous crackpots. I did not like that, man. And they go after people for no reason, and they just hammer the – especially kids. There was a kid here in Corfu this happened to, in fact, and he was a student of mine, and we put a stop to it when I found out who it was. But needless to say, it's horrible. God bless you, Kobe. Well done. You know, well done. He didn't stick up for the right of a person. He stuck up for the fact you shouldn't be calling people names. And that is what is the better end of that, because this way he doesn't get in any trouble, and he does something good. That was very clever of Kobe. Welcome to Twitter, Kobe. We need more of you like that. I think I said that right. Anyway,
absolutely.
Jay Williams. Now, Jay Williams was your boy, right?
Yeah, man. I'm not a Duke fan. I'm a Villanova guy myself, personally. But yeah, Jay Williams is probably, and the weirdest part to me is I'm not necessarily a fan who's attracted to the game of point guards. I generally like the kind of the big guy, the old school, pounded into the basket type of power forwards, those guys like that. But something about Jay Williams, man, and even being a Dukie, who everybody hates Dukies, unless you're a Duke fan, you hate him. Jay Williams was always a guy I just love this college game. He's probably my favorite, and I said this to you in the chat, he's probably my favorite collegiate athlete of all times. And actually, the first year I ever really played fantasy basketball was the 2002 when Jay Williams, Mike Dunleavy, Yao Ming, Amari Stoudemire, that class came out. So Jay Williams was a guy whose NBA career I was really looking forward to. I drafted him all my leagues, and it's just a shame what happened.
Yeah, it is. And for those of you who don't know who he is, he was a big star in college for Duke, and he was drafted by the Chicago Bulls. He purchased a motorcycle, and he thought the motorcycle was in neutral, but it turned out it was in gear, and he was just revving it up, and it took off, and it threw him about 50 or 60 feet in the air at about 100 miles an hour. So it was an awful thing. He destroyed his leg. He never came back to the NBA, and he could have probably been someone that, well, maybe you'll see him on a 30-30 documentary at some point, because he was one of the best I ever saw, or could have been. He's the kid that took Michael Jordan's locker after Michael Jordan left and went to the Wizards. But this is the thing that everybody picked up on, rather than the actual story that went from success to heartbreak to success again. And this is the thing that I wanted to talk about this. He says like this. He says, I didn't know how to handle it at first, it being in the NBA. I didn't know how to be around it. Guys were on the bench trying to kick it to the girls in the stands, having ball boys run over. I mean, some guys were high. And then he was asked to clarify, and he said the following. He said, there were guys smoking weed before games. Guys asking in the middle of the game, do you smell popcorn? Now, Jay Williams is an analyst for ESPN. He is amazing. If you ever get the opportunity to listen to him, I suggest that you do, or to watch one of the games that he broadcasts. He's that good. But isn't it a pity that in a 15,000-word story, this was almost like a short story in the New York Times, and this is what people picked up on?
Yeah, I mean, I think in a way, the talking about other guys in the NBA, other players on the bench being high, it's kind of one of those things, man. I do think in a sense that Jay Williams might have crossed the line there, because I think it's kind of an unwritten rule. It's sort of like the New York Giants with the ice bath the season before last. In the YouTube video, it being leaked, it should have never been leaked, and that's what all the analysts said then. The players taping this, it shouldn't have been put on YouTube, because that's an in-house sort of issue. I think the same thing with guys, you know, if they're smoking weed, etc. If they're doing that, and I'm not condoning it, but I'm saying I think it's something between the players. You don't leak that out. But on the flip side of that, I understand why Jay Williams said it. I understand why it upset him. It's because imagine just being at the height of your career, because Jay Williams, Duke. I mean, if you're a Duke star, you're already pretty much a god in the basketball world. If you're a Duke star like Jay Williams was, which is a notch up higher. I mean, you remember Shane Battier before Jay Williams, just before Jay Williams. And then it went from Shane Battier to Jay Williams. And Jay Williams is just, he was the guy. I mean, I think of him in a lot of ways is a better Raymond Felton type player. He's a little bulldog. He was such a strong, quick point guard. But he's a guy who had it all, lost it all, and then saw these guys who he portrayed as knuckleheads on the bench trying to shout at girls, get numbers, sending ball boys to get girls' numbers, talking about smoking weed, thinking it's hilarious because they smell food, because they have the munchies or whatever. And he's looking at that like, you know, I had it, I lost it, now I can't have it back, and these idiots are throwing it away. And to me personally, yeah, that would probably piss me off too. But at the same time, I think and I'm almost positive Jay Will probably thinks about it too, because it's one of those unwritten rules. It shouldn't have been something he said, I don't think, publicly.
Yeah, that's a tough one to rat out your teammates. But the thing is if you're going to do something like that, then you have to do, let's say, like Jalen Rose does. If Jalen Rose has a problem or he wants to say something, he'll name your name. This way, yeah, it takes away from the speculation. Now we wonder which guys he was referring to. Well, Tyson Chandler came out yesterday, I believe, and he said, I don't know what this kid's talking about, because I didn't see any of that. But I don't think that Jay Williams is the type of kid who's going to throw his life away by telling a fib or making up stories that aren't true about his teammates. I think he probably regrets saying it now. But you're right. You know, that's the, and when I read that, that's exactly how I read it. You know, this kid watched, he threw his own life away, really. He screwed up, and he knows that. He takes responsibility for what he did and the mistake he made by riding a motorcycle or owning a motorcycle. But at the same token, he is also ticked off, like you said. He sees these guys who were injury-free, who would rather smoke blunts and chase girls and talk about eating popcorn rather than concentrating on using their God-given talent to actually do something with it when he sits back and he can hardly walk. That's the point I got out of it, too. We wish Jay Williams all the best. I hope he doesn't lose his job over this. But somehow I doubt it. If Jalen Rose can survive the Indianapolis, Indiana situation, I think Jay Williams will be able to survive this one. Yeah,
Jay Williams is a straight edge, too. Like, that's the other thing, is Jalen Rose was always the bad boy, and they kept him around. I don't think one infraction against Jay Williams is going to penalize him too much. He's always been that model Duke profile type of a player, so I think he'll be okay.
I think so, too. And you know what? Now there's this big speculation. This thing is really running rampant. I mean rampant. Josh Smith to the Nets? Come on now. Couldn't it be interesting to see him and Joe Johnson reunited?
I like it because if you look at those Nets teams, or not the Nets teams, excuse me, if you look at those Hawks teams when they were, they got swept by Orlando in 2010, I believe. Orlando swept the Bobcats, and then they swept the Hawks. And the Hawks quit on Mike Woodson. Mike Woodson got canned. Then the next year, 2011, they beat Orlando, being the lower seed, and Orlando being the lower seed than them. They stole the home court advantage. And they were always kind of a team that was in there in the playoffs. But every time I looked at that team, you know what I thought they lacked? A point guard. I mean, who were their point guards? Mike Bibby. You had Jamal Crawford in there. He's not really a point guard, but he was playing point guard. And then Joe Johnson played the point forward a lot. So to me, I feel like if that team would have had Deron Williams, they would have been a hell of a team. So to me, if Josh Smith goes there, you're putting Josh Smith back with Joe Johnson. So two of the core players from the Hawks. You have a Brook Lopez instead of a Al Horford. I'm taking Brook any day of the week because Al Horford should be playing power forward, not center. And then you have Deron Williams, who's this facilitator who can score, you know, definitely a top 10 or 8 point guard in the NBA. And I feel like this team's good. And Josh Smith's going to be around these guys like Gerald Wallace and Deron Williams. Deron Williams isn't afraid to call a guy out. I think that was part of Josh Smith's problem in his career, is he's never really had a player to call him out when he's doing knucklehead things. You notice Josh Smith gets in these modes sometimes where he starts shooting threes, and then his efficiency just falls through the basement floor. So I think if he has a guy like a Deron Williams who isn't afraid to call him out, Deron's like Kobe in many ways. He'll call his teammates out if they're screwing up. So he'll have that, and he'll have a Gerald Wallace as a no-mess type of guy. So I think, like, Josh Smith's going to be, if he were to go to the Nets, he would be around some good guys. And his athleticism, his running ability, his defense, blocking shots, I feel like he could bring the Nets a lot of what they're missing right now. And it looks like all they really would have to give up for him is like a Chris Humphreys, Marshawn Brooks, and a first-rounder. To me, if I'm the Nets, I'm giving them Humphreys, Marshawn Brooks, and the first rounder, and I'm kissing them on the cheek for making this deal with us. And another interesting thing is a lot of times you'll see these teams that have been trade partners go back, and obviously they got Joe Johnson there. So I feel like it could work. The only other thing they were really talking about is they've been talking with Charlotte, the Nets have, about a Chris Humphreys for Ben Gordon swap. Obviously, the sources here, the reports are saying that Josh Smith takes priority, which why wouldn't he? The thing is going to be Josh Smith will be a free agent, and then you got to show him the money because he wants that vet max type deal for being a 9-year player. So I think it's a good move. I think it bolsters them right away, and it helps them for the future if they're able to keep Josh Smith.
What a coach's nightmare, though. You have Josh Smith, Joe Johnson, and Deron Williams, the three biggest coach killers in the world. Oh, my Lord. I don't know if the chemistry will be there.
Well, they don't have Carmelo. At least, well, I mean, yeah. Or Dwight Howard.
Yeah, could you imagine the five of them together? I couldn't. I wouldn't want to coach that.
Nobody'd coach him. Who Phil would coach Jackson him? Be the Phil Jackson would be the only guy that would coach that team.
And he says he's not coaching again. He's done. He says the attitudes are all wrong. But that's for another day. But good Lord. I thought – I was told that Joe Johnson and Josh Smith don't like each other much. And that Josh Smith had said before the season, he goes, it's a different team. We actually get to do get-togethers, and the entire team shows up. I don't know if that's going to work up there. If they can put it all aside and just play ball, which I don't know. If they can, they would be tough. And, yeah, giving up Marshawn Brooks and Chris Humphreys – for this kid, yeah, sure. And you know who gets the better end of this thing? Atlanta. Because Humphreys, you know, he might take a bad rap and people tease him and whatever. But there's a double-double guy when he plays. And that's not a bad thing. The Hawks definitely need that. And he's a team player. The Hawks need that. And Marshawn Brooks, I don't know what happened to him this year, but if they got him, and he came back to even somewhere near what he did last year. And I believe that he can, you know, because he won't be saddled by watching Joe Johnson and that little smirk running up and down the court knowing you can't get in because of it. I think he'd be all right. Yeah,
he's underutilized for sure.
Way underutilized. But you know what? I think it would be a great trade, too. And a first-round pick, too, for Atlanta. Danny Ferry is the general manager of the year. I don't care what anybody says. If he could dump Josh Smith, too, and get two chips plus a possible third chip to put with his team, he's done pretty good. He's the general manager of the year. That would be a great one. The Ben Wallace, was it Ben Wallace you said, or Ben Gordon?
Ben Gordon straight up with Charlotte for Chris Humphreys. I like that deal too.
I like that deal a lot too, and it helps both teams, you know. Chris Humphreys needs to get out of New Jersey, or I'm sorry, Brooklyn. He doesn't belong there.
Well, they're not using him either is the other thing. He was good when they were using him. His production's way down this year because of Andre Blatch. And I like Humphreys too. I think, you know, he's the first male in the history of the human race to stick up to those evil Kardashian women. So he gets an A-OK from me for that. But, yeah. He's hated, and it's because of the Kim Kardashian thing, which is nonsense, because if you're a basketball fan at a game in the stands, quit worrying about Kim Kardashian. The lady's evil. She's famous for a sex tape. Who cares? Humphreys can ball, and I think he'll bring the right energy to wherever he goes.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. You know, Walt Frazier, accidentally, he goes, that Kardashian guy. And after the show, after the game, it was funny because he said, I just couldn't remember his name. but that's Clyde. But a lot of people, I've even done it too, and it's not nice. But I've also stated for many, many years, or every time I talk about him, I should say, this kid can ball when he wants to. The bad thing is he's got this girl, Kardashian, who he married, and these other guys in the league, you know, they look at him like, she's a trick, man. You don't marry a trick. And for whatever reason, they did. And unfortunately, it is what it is. But, yeah, that'd be a good trade anywhere but New York for this kid. He gets a fresh start, gets to play.
Stay out of L.A. too. No L.A.
Yeah, no L.A., no Miami.
That's where they're from.
Yeah, no L.A., no Miami, no New York, no big city. Go to Charlotte. That's where you go. Let Michael be there for you. See, he will be. Anyway, we're off to a roaring start. Have you heard of any other trades you want to hit up or –
I mean, nothing as prevalent as that. I mean, everything else is pretty much just speculative right now. I mean, there's a lot going on. I mean, in the next few days here, we've only got a little over a week until that deadline. So look out. I mean, we know the names. We've been hearing them. But, yeah, I won't go into anything deep right now because there's really nothing on the table that's real prevalent at the moment, Phil.
Yeah, me either. And that's why, because there's a lot of rumors, and some of them are really crazy. And we've chased a couple of those. But I think you're right. I don't know what's going to happen, but it ought to be interesting. Anyway, when we return, what we're going to do today is we're going to quickly take a look at a couple of the skills competitions for the All-Star game coming up this weekend, the All-Star weekend. And then we got to get into the fantasy hoops. Anyway, we'll be right back.
You're listening to the Phil Nason Show on these amazing affiliates. And we'll be right back.
Stitcher Smart Radio is an award-winning, free mobile application that lets you listen to your favorite shows and discover the best of news, entertainment, and sports on demand. Now you don't even need a Wi-Fi or a cell connection to listen to shows like The Phil Nason Show. Never miss another show. It's real simple. Just go to Stitcher.com and download the free app today. And never miss another Phil Nason Show. Been dreaming of that Greek vacation? Well, if you have, then you might want to check out the folks at the Aridi Grand Hotel, located in beautiful Corfu, Greece. Come experience world-class cuisine, as well as the hospitality that Greece is legendary for at the Aridi Grand Hotel. You can find them at aridihotel.com or email them at reservations@aridihotel.com. This Week in Tennis is a weekly tennis program covering all aspects of professional tennis. The most controversial tennis show anywhere deals with issues no one seems to want to touch. For music and hard-hitting commentary, please visit philnasons.com.
And we're back on the Wednesday edition of the Phil Nason Show, sports-kings.com's Andy Flint is here, and we're talking All-Star Weekend. We're going to do it as quickly as we can. What's up with the All-Star? What do you like the most, Andy, about the All-Star Game and All-Star Weekend?
I think my favorite thing right now is obviously the All-Star Game is fun to watch. We know what to expect, people. I don't want to hear people complaining on Twitter that they don't play any defense. We know this. They haven't played defense ever. Stop talking about it. And the other thing I really like besides the regular All-Star Game is I like to watch the Rising Stars. Now, that changed last year, if everybody doesn't really realize. Instead of doing rookies versus sophomores, they have the rookies and the sophomore pool put together. They let Shaq and Charles Barkley do a draft of sorts, and they pick the teams they want, and they go head-to-head. So last year, Charles took the W over Shaq, and it was some high-scoring game. I think it was 140-something to 130-something. But this kind of takes away from the rookies just getting smashed all the time. So this year, real quick, I can run you through the rosters, and that's Shaq had the first pick and did the world this big disservice by taking Damian Lillard over Kyrie Irving. Kyrie Irving is hands down the best player in this whole game. So he didn't go first, kills me. And then you have Sir Charles over there, and he does us a big disservice again by taking Anthony Davis second overall over Kyrie. So then not only does that happen, but then you get Shaq turns around and drafts Kyrie. So now we're going to miss out on Kyrie versus Damian Lillard, which is what I really wanted to see. So, real quick, the rosters for Shaq are Damian Lillard, Kyrie Irving, Andrew Nicholson from Orlando is in replacing the injured Andre Drummond from the Pistons. You have Klay Thompson from Golden State, Harrison Barnes from Golden State. I like what he did there. Chandler Parsons from the Houston Rockets, Deion Waiters from the Cleveland Cavaliers, Michael Kidd-Gilchrist from the Charlotte Bobcats, Tyler Zeller from the Cleveland Cavaliers, and Kemba Walker from the Charlotte Bobcats. So, he put a few guys from the same team here. You got Kyrie and Tyler, Kemba, and MKG, and then he got Deion Waiters in there from Cleveland, too. He kept guys on the same team. I really like what Shaq did. Team Chuck is Anthony Davis, Kenneth Faried, Kawhi Leonard, Bradley Beal, Ricky Rubio, Tristan Thompson, Nikola Vucevic, Brandon Knight, Isaiah Thomas, who has been hot lately, and Alexei Shved. I figure the starters for this for Shaq will probably be Lillard, Kyrie, because you got to start them both. Harrison Barnes, they're going to be light down low. They don't really have any big guys. So I figure they'll go with Michael Kidd-Gilchrist at the power forward, Andrew Nicholson at the five. And then Team Chuck, Charles Barkley drafted the better team here, but I think Shaq's team's going to win because he just has the better players. Team Chuck should look something like Ricky Rubio, Bradley Beal, Kawhi Leonard, Kenneth Faried, and Anthony Davis. I just think Shaq's got too much speed, too many good scores. Kyrie Irving should dump 40. I think he had he was like 9 for 9 shooting threes, or 7 for 7 shooting threes last season when they did this game. So I look for Kyrie Irving to just go crazy on him again. But that's my favorite part. Do you need me to list the other events, Phil, or do you have them in front of you?
I do have them. I'll tell you what, I'm looking forward to that, what used to be called the rookie game. But I wanted to see Irving and Kyrie against Damian. I wanted to see the head-to-head, but they didn't want that. And I think one of the reasons is because both of those guys are actually going to be playing in the All-Star game on Sunday. So I think that's what they did. But anyway, here's what we have for the Taco Bell Skills Challenge. Jrue Holiday, Brandon Knight, and Jeff Teague are in the Eastern Conference. Tony Parker, Damian Lillard, and Jeremy Lin in the West. Fortunately for Jeremy Lin, passing into something really doesn't count that much unless they put a red jersey around it or something, or put the opponent's team around that tire he has to throw the ball through, and then he'll make an ace out of it because that kid turns the ball over quite a bit. It's amazing that Jeremy Lin is participating in this skills challenge, isn't it?
Yeah, I think Mark and Frank were getting into it a little bit this morning on King's Court, talking about the Jeremy Lin thing. I don't necessarily get it either, but I mean, what are you going to do? I think he's part of it's probably the fact that Jeremy Lin, despite, not being in the Big Apple anymore, is still kind of the flavor of the moment right now. People still love Jeremy Lin. And yeah, I think he'll go belly up in this challenge. I just don't see it. There's so many, and actually there's really not a ton of good names. I mean, you get Brandon Knight's another one to me who's not a passer really. Jeff Teague doesn't wow me. The only real guys I see here that are, to me, it should be Damian Lillard, Tony Parker, Jrue Holiday should be the guys that we're going to look at to win this thing.
Yeah, Tony Parker usually does that every year. Now, who do you have for the three-point shooting?
So for the three-point contest, and actually this is – I think the three-point contest is going to work out really well this year. We got some good names going here. In case you guys haven't noticed, they're doing the whole East versus West thing this year. So it's broken up. And representing the East, you have Paul George of the Indiana Pacers, Kyrie Irving's everywhere. Talk about flavor of the moment. Kyrie Irving of the Cleveland Cavaliers, and then you have Stevie Novak of the New York Knicks in there, of course. What would the three-point contest be without Novak? Then representing the West, we have Ryan Anderson of the New Orleans Pelicans, I guess we'll call them, Matt Bonner of the San Antonio Spurs, the Red Rocket, and then Steph Curry from the Golden State Warriors. I think your specialists here should come to no shock, are the white boys. Stevie Novak, Ryan Anderson, and Matt Bonner. I went with Ryan Anderson last year, and obviously that didn't happen. Kevin Love won, I believe. And I think I'm going to go with Ryan Anderson again this year. I think Ryan Anderson and Steve Novak are the two best pure shooters in this event. I think guys like Steph and Kyrie and even Paul George, they're more of a guy who I think making big shots in a game. It's a little different when you're lining up with the racks. I think some shooters tend to say that it's tougher lining up with the racks and you're just jacking multiple shots. I see a guy like Steve Novak having a setup like that in his backyard where he just has the racks with the money ball on him and the other balls, and he's just going around shooting, practicing. So he should probably have the advantage. But I just love Ryan Anderson's stroke. I feel like, he was my guy going into last year and it didn't really work out. So I'm picking Ryan Anderson. So Stevie Novak and Anderson, and I'm picking Ryan Anderson to win.
Well, I'm going to go with Steve Novak because I think that's the only thing he's going to win this year, because I got a funny feeling they're going to trade him at some point. They're going to have to, the Knicks. But I like the 3-point. That's my favorite thing of all, except for the big game, of course. All right, but I'll take Novak. We'll have a good laugh next week. Anyway, the Sears Shooting Stars Conference. And here we have in the West, we have James Harden, Russell Westbrook, from the Minnesota Lynx, Maya Moore, from the Seattle Storms, Tina Thompson, and the two legends with those folks are Sammy Cassell and Robert Horry. And in the East, you have Chris Bosh, Brooke Lopez, from the Chicago Sky, Swin Cash, from the Indiana Fever, Tamika Catchings, and then the two legends would be Muggsy Bogues and Dominique Wilkins. That ought to be interesting, too, the Shooting Stars, huh?
Yeah, and that's always one of those things that's interesting. And again, they've switched it, made it a group thing, East versus West, instead of having, generally they'll have the, you know, the San Antonio Stars, where they have a legend, a current player, and then a WNBA current player. And, you know, they've went a little nuts this year. I'm not exactly sure what they're going to be doing. If it's anything like it generally has been in the past, then I feel like the West is going to destroy the East. You've got to think they've changed it a little bit, because generally it's kind of a shooting contest. And I feel like Harden, Westbrook, Cassell, and Ori are going to, I mean, this ain't counting the women, are going to kill. I mean, what's Brooke Lopez going to do? Can you see him making jump shots all over the place, including like a half-court shot? So I have to feel like they've changed some of the things this year. I don't know. What have you read about this?
Just that they've done what they're done in the past, and it's going to be interesting. I think they jazzed it up so they could give them more opportunities to score and make it tougher, too. Why you have Brooke Lopez out there, I don't know. But that's why, I guess, to make it tougher. But I like the fact that they bring these legends out there, because it's going to be funny to watch Dominique Wilkins and Muggsy Bogues try to run around and do what they have to do. But I think what they're going to do is take a combined score instead of that. I think what they used to do, what was it, three people running around like silly? Now they'll have six, and they'll just take the best scores from each of them. And
well,
average
it
them.
Is, though. It's the same thing. They're shooting from the stations again. I was just kind of reading it, and that's what I thought they were doing. I don't know why you get Chris Bosh and Brooke Lopez in there, or Dominique Wilkins either. I don't really – I mean, they're going to – Sam Cassell and Robert Horry could probably win this themselves.
Exactly. But this is going to be a lot of fun, though, man. I don't really care, because I just enjoy it. I don't get to see any of it live, but I can acquire it rather easily. And I look forward to it. I like to get all the skills things at one time and just save them to my hard drive and just check it out that way. Now what we have is the slam dunk. That's what everybody really wants to see and talk about. And this slam dunk is kind of crazy. Who do we have in it so far? I'm waiting for my browser to come up, because I thought I had saved that, and apparently I did not. So
I got you covered. So
God bless you.
Again, it's East versus West. Yeah, somebody's got it. It's East versus West, and the East, who looks miles better than the West. I keep saying that. That's like the trend this year. Gerald Green from the Indiana Pacers, bona fide dunker. Terrence Ross. From the Toronto Raptors, bona fide dunker. James White from the New York Knicks. Like, if you don't know who James White is, people, please just go YouTube this guy, because I was YouTubing him a couple weeks ago. I believe it was – I don't remember if it was China or if it was Europe. He had a ridiculous between-the-legs dunk. And, again, I couldn't tell by looking at the mess of what they had for their paint section in that league if he was actually jumping from the free throw line. And I have to be, you know, a skeptic on that, because it's guys, when they do a regular dunk from the free throw line, usually jump 2 feet in. But he was from way out, going between his legs and putting it down. If he does anything close to that, he's got this lockdown. But the West is Eric Bledsoe, who's been nuts this season. Point guard, obviously. Jeremy Evans from the Utah Jazz, great dunker. And then the one I really don't like is Kenneth Faried, the Manimal. I love Kenneth Faried, but I think of him more as he's kind of a sloppy power dunker in games, just wows you. It looks like he's going to rip the rim off because he's such a big, strong guy. These guys in dunk contests, they have to get super creative. If you remember the year Dwight Howard won it, it's hard for a big man like that to look graceful. Now, Fareed isn't quite as big as Howard, but Howard had to really pull out all the stops and do a lot of the weird stuff. I hope the dunk contest can save itself because it's been quite a while since we had a good one. The last year, Paul George, who was the best dunker in that contest, I have no doubt, but he just did the neon glow suit and turning off the lights to just do some dumb windmill dunk. Like, I was just so unimpressed. I feel like a lot of people think it's going to come down to Gerald Green and James White. I feel like I think James White and Terrence Ross, people don't know Terrence Ross. Terrence Ross is a good dunker. And I just feel like unless he completely stinks it up and misses some dunks, I think this is James White's to win. Go check out James White, guys. He's a menace dunking the ball.
Look, man, James White, let me explain that. If I'm correct, and I'm not, don't quote me on this, but I believe that he did that here in Greece.
It may have been. It was somewhere overseas. And again, their paint, their key looks a lot different.
Sure does.
So watching it on YouTube, low grade, I couldn't really figure out exactly where he was jumping. And I was kind of trying to use my measuring skills with the small screen and figure out how far he was. But he was launching, man. I mean, it's impressive regardless of where he's going from.
Dude, I have a friend who played against him in Greece. And he told me this guy is freaking a monster when it comes to dunking. And he's crazy. But there's a reason for the – when you watch a game in Europe and you see all those funny colored courts, there's a reason. In Europe, they don't have facilities for, say, just one team. They usually have teams like handball and they have what do they call it? They play indoor soccer. They play all kinds of stuff. So you're seeing multi arena floors. For one thing, a multi-set, like a gym class. And that's why you see what you see, because it is confusing. But I can swear that he did this in Greece. Anyway, when I saw somebody actually make fun of James White. Yeah, like he can do that. About that between the legs dunk. Yeah, he can. I mean, it's just YouTube. Google. Use Google before you open your mouths out there, people. Then you won't look silly.
Yeah, again, and I'm a huge critic of this, because I watched it a few times, and again, I have to see him do this on a court where I can actually differentiate what line he's jumping from before I'm going to say, hey, it's from the free throw line. But if it's not from the free throw line, it's further than we've ever watched anybody, you know, here at this dunk contest do a between the legs from. I'll guarantee that. It's definitely for – I mean, when you just look at the speed, that's the incredible part to me, is the speed this guy has to travel at to be able to get – from where he's going, from where he's launching to the hoop is just amazing. And, you know, the awareness to just put that between his legs and throw it down is just spectacular. If he does that dunk and it's anywhere near the free throw line, he wins, I think.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, the thing is, we can talk about this for a couple minutes because we're going to just kill the rest of the hour with the All-Star game because fantasy basketball doesn't resume again until next Thursday anyway, so we can do a full hour for them next week. How's that?
That's fine with me.
Yeah, because we're only going to have about 7 minutes. There's no point. And the guys will understand. Anyway, this all-star business with the slam dunk. A lot of people want to see something they've never seen before, but it's pretty difficult to see something you've never seen before. If James White launches where I think he's going to, that's the first time you've ever seen that. But when you said saving the dunk contest from itself, you mean they just... they can't do anything different, can they?
Well, here's what I've said for years, and a lot of people won't agree with this, and a lot of you probably will agree with this, is for me personally, what I want to see is I don't want to see all the parody. I don't want to see the, you know, the fireworks, so to speak, and the nonsense. I don't want to see that. I don't want to see Gerald Green blowing out a cupcake. I don't want to see, you know, Dwight Howard coming out of a booth with a cape on. I don't want to see Josh Smith actually did this years and years ago, him coming out in a Dominique jersey and then doing a simple windmill dunk. I don't want to see Nate Robinson dressing up in kryptonite and then just doing a basic throwdown. I'm sick of it. I want bona fide dunkers, and I feel like we have a few who can dunk the ball And who cares if we've seen it before? Because you're right, we've run out of dunks. I mean, there's probably a few out there. But I would rather see a new spin or launching from a different spot. Or I always liked where they tossed the ball off the backboard or bounced it or threw themselves a pass or had a teammate come throw them a pass. Something like that, to me, is better than you trying to get real. I mean, Paul George's thing last year, did you see that where he dressed up in the neon and they turned off the lights and then he just did a simple dunk? Like, I mean, are you kidding me? That, to me, was the worst thing I've ever – Paul George should have been sent to Europe to play for that. I mean, that's you don't come back from that. I can't understand. And the thing with Dwight Howard a few years ago with the Superman is at least he went out there and he did a couple of all right dunks. He had the one where he tossed it off the backboard and he slapped it with his big old hands. And he did a couple of dunks where I thought, hey, that's tough for a guy who's, you know, goes 6'11", 270. But, I mean, we need to get back to some of these simpler, you know, the 2000 dunk contest with Vince Carter and Tracy McGrady, Steve Francis. That was my favorite dunk contest. And I mean, a lot of people are going to say, yeah, Vince Carter did some crazy stuff. But just look how simple they kept that dunk contest. They all had a couple dunks, I think, where they threw the ball. They had somebody throw the ball. I remember Vince Carter and McGrady were throwing the ball to each other because they both played for the Raptors at that point, which was awesome. Great sportsmanship. And then you have the Jason Richardson dunk contest where he did the 360s and the windmills and the between the legs. And it was just guys just doing great dunks and not getting all caught up on this crap. I don't want to see all these props and stuff like that. It's stupid. The year Josh Smith won it, I don't remember what year it was. He was a young man then, but he did the came out in the Dominique Wilkins jersey and he just did the windmill and everybody went nuts. And I was sitting there going, why are you guys going crazy? I watched J.R. Smith go behind his back and dunk it, a dunk we'd never seen before in the dunk contest, and he didn't even get a 50 for it. So how does a guy doing a unique, creative dunk nobody's ever done before not get a 50, but a guy doing a windmill, the crowd went crazy, and these stupid judges who don't know what they're judging are going nuts because he's wearing a unique jersey? I mean, come on. And these judges, too. We got to get away from some of these judges. I've watched years Michael Jordan just wouldn't give anybody a 10. Like, what's with that? Michael, you're too good to give people a 10? I don't understand. Some of the parody of this thing needs to go away, and we just need to get back to legit dunkers who can dunk the ball. And another thing I personally think is going to save the dunk contest is we need to get superstars back in it. If you look at this year, Gerald Green, Terrence Ross, James White, Eric Bledsoe, Jeremy Evans, Kenneth Fareed, we have some bona fide dunkers there. None of them could sell a ticket on their own, though. I tell you that right now. Kenneth Fareed's probably the biggest name in this dunk contest. So what happened to the stars, you know, the Vince Carters and the Michael Jordans and players like that joining this dunk contest? We need LeBron. I want to see LeBron. I'll take Russell Westbrook. I mean, I want to see these premier athletes in the NBA that everybody pays good money to watch play basketball. I want to see them at this All-Star game throwing down dunks. We get it in the three-point contest. We've had the Ray Allens. I mean, we have Steph Curry this year. We had Kevin Love. I mean, we have bona fide stars playing in the three-point contest. Why can't we get these guys in the dunk contest? Is it because – is LeBron afraid that he can't do anything original? You know, don't bring us a dunk that we've seen before. Just put your spin on it. There's things you can do, and that guy can get up. So I don't see any reason why we can't get these guys. Dwayne Wade's another one, great dunker, never dunked in the dunk contest. And now that's passed him by because I don't think he could perform up to par now.
Yeah, you definitely had said a lot there, my friend.
And sorry.
No, it's okay. That's why I have you on the show.
It's a tangent, Phil.
That's fair enough. Rant, tangent, but it was good. It was really good. Now, I agree with you, too. You know what? One of the things that I'm under the impression of is that the judges this year are going to be the fans.
I mean, I like that to an extent. I feel like what they should do is they should go right before, you know, like 20 minutes before the event, and they should pick out, you know, if they want a panel of, say I think they should have a panel of 5 people. They should go in the crowd. They should pick out 20 random people. They should quiz these guys with like a 20 question quiz real fast. whoever scores the best on this quiz, and again, we're testing basketball knowledge here. We don't, you know, I don't want somebody's wife who just came with their husband to watch the game, doesn't really know about basketball. But I want them picked at random so they don't know what's coming, and I want them tested quickly to make sure they have. And I figure if you get 20 people, you'll get 5 who know what they're doing. Sit them on the panel, let them judge.
That's not a bad idea, man.
We might save the bias a little bit that way. I feel like Michael Jordan the 1 year just didn't want to give 10s because he was sitting there thinking to himself, oh, I wish I had a cigar. I'm Michael Jordan. They can't dunk like me. I'm too good. They're not as good as me, so they're not getting a 10. Some of this stuff's just crazy. You see some of these wacky, you know, scores, and I just don't understand it. The J.R. Smith to me was the biggest snub ever with his behind-the-back dunk, and he got no love for it. And Josh Smith with somebody else's jersey, and everybody erupted like it was the greatest thing they had ever seen. It was garbage.
You're absolutely right. Okay, quickly now, and I'm not going to touch any of those other things. We can talk about that next week if you want, but because we only have about a minute, who do you have, the East or the West?
In the All-Star game.
Yeah, in the All-Star game.
I'm going with the East.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
You hesitated there.
I did. It's tough. And the reason for me that it's so tough is because of two players in the West, and that's Kevin Durant and Kobe Bryant, who are just men amongst boys. And I feel – I don't know. I just feel like those two are – Kobe Bryant is just the best all-star game player we've had ever. I mean, he holds records now. So – I just feel like those two are – Kobe's coming to the end of his career. He's going to be out for blood. But I got to go with the East just because that's kind of where my heart lies, and I generally pick the East. So I think LeBron's going to have a big game. Mr. Efficient.
I agree. And Carmelo Anthony and LeBron are playing better than any two players in the league right now, and they're playing on the same team. Anyway, Andy, thanks so much for being on the show, dude.
Absolutely, Phil. I always enjoy the show.
Oh, me too. And that's going to wrap it up for today's Phil Nason Show. We want to thank Andy Flint for being here. You can find him at sports-kings.com. Tomorrow night, Jamie and Smith and I are going to have a lot of fun. We're going to bring you back the Facebook Fugazis, and we've got a whole bunch of them to talk about. We're going to have a good time tomorrow on Valentine's Day, and on Friday, we'll be doing our baseball special like we always do. Until then, you all take care of yourselves out there. Be really good now. Good night. And most importantly, thanks for listening.
Ladies and gentlemen, my mother thanks you, my father thanks you, my sister thanks you, and I thank you.